Daddy.
It's Texaco time with Fred Allen. Texaco dealers from coast to coast present the Texaco Star Theater, starring Fred Allen, with Fred's guests, the popular screen and radio comedian Jack Haley, Portland Hoffa, Falstaff Openshaw, the Texaco Workshop Players, Hilo Jack at the Dame, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. Yours truly, Jimmy Wallington, is here to remind you that warmer days mean danger for your car if you're still driving with worn-out winter lubricant. See your Texaco dealer and let him protect your car against excessive warm weather wear with the right spring grade of insulated Havoline motor oil, Texaco gear lubricant, and thorough Marfax chassis lubrication. It's a Texaco spring tonic to put new life in your car. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday was April 1st. Now, it may seem a little late for jokes, but tonight we bring you radio's funniest and most hilarious comedian. April Fool, it's only Fred Allen!
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jimmy, April is finally here. With the rain and these new taxes, people are sure going to get soaked this month, don't you think?
Why, Fred, you should welcome the rain. The rain makes everything beautiful.
Jimmy, it has been raining on me for 40 years. I still look like a man from Woodlawn Cemetery out on a two-hour pad.
Oh, well, Fred, don't be discouraged. You know the old saying, let a smile be your umbrella.
Jimmy, I have tried letting a smile be my umbrella, too.
And what happened?
I got a mouthful of rainwater. You know, there's been too much rain lately, James. I turned on my radio the other night.
Oh, was it raining?
Oh, it was pouring. I tuned in the Lux Theater. In 2 minutes, the room was full of bubbles and foam. Cecil B. DeMille was treading foam around the room there for quite a while. You know, it rained so hard down around City Hall, they say the little flower grew 2 inches this week. He has to take his hat off when he walks under a Pekingese now. He can't... It shows that the...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland. Portland, I'm glad you have your wedgies on. You give the show a lift just when we can use it. What's on your mind?
How do you pronounce Domenevka?
Domenevka?
Yes. It's a town the Russian army captured today.
Well, why don't you wait until tomorrow? The Russians would be 20 miles past there. It may be someplace you can handle if you just lay a Say, is that a letter you have there?
Yes, I'm mailing it for Mama.
Oh, really? Well, don't forget the postage rates went up last week.
Oh, it doesn't bother us. Mama has a system.
Oh, what system?
Mama puts a 2-cent stamp in the icebox.
Yeah?
When Washington turns blue, Mama uses it for a 3-cent stamp.
Well, that's a new thing, a postage stamp with goose pimples. What, make a steeplechase for your tongue when you lick it. Say, what, You know what a goose pimple is. It's a dimple that blew out. Where was that? Well, what else is... It doesn't make any difference with our program. You can open any script. I'll read a thing here. I'll show you. It doesn't make any difference. What else new happened, Portland?
My uncle Phil in the army is sick again.
Sick? What's wrong now?
The doctor gave him some blood plasma, but he made a mistake. It was baking powder.
Oh, they gave Uncle Phil a transfusion of baking powder?
Yes, and he's all covered with lumps.
Lumps, huh?
Uncle Phil has biscuits in his bloodstream.
He's lucky he hasn't got cookies in his kidneys. Well, after... After that half-baked gag, Portland, I'm off to Alan Sally.
Oh, what is your question tonight?
Well, this past week, as you know, the War Food Administration announced that this year's record egg production is demoralizing the egg market. The WFA is trying to adjust prices to help the wholesaler, retailer, and consumer. And so our question is, how has the egg surplus affected you?
Shall we go?
As the two customers in Duffy's Tavern might say, leave us leave. What a fat handle our mop has. Well, here we are. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. I wonder if Senator Bloat is in.
Yes?
Senator Bloat?
Yes, but you have to hurry. I've got to rush over to the White House. FDR has bronchitis.
Well, how do you think the president caught cold?
The White House is very drafty. Eleanor rushing in
and
out.
I see. Well, tell me, Senator, isn't there some way we can stop the egg surplus?
Yes. If my bill, the bloat bill, goes through, no more eggs will be laid.
Well, how can you stop hens from laying eggs?
Instead of corn, the hens will be fed old rubber plants.
Rubber plants, eh?
When the hen lays an egg...
Yes?
The egg will bounce back into the hen. I thank you.
Well, if the Senator's bill goes through, hens will think they're laying ping pong balls, I guess. Well, let's knock at this next door.
Well, what is it?
I give up. I would... Mrs. Prawn, tell me, how do you feel about the egg surplus?
I was crazy about eggs when I was single. I had my own chickens.
And now that you're married?
My husband won't let me keep chickens.
Well, why not?
My husband says one old cluck around the house is enough.
Well, it's my own fault I shouldn't have egged her on, I guess. But what's going on next door here?
No?
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is a new here. Who are you?
My buddy, you are looking on Digby Rappaport.
Digby Rappaport. What became of Mr. Nussbaum?
That's a military secret.
A military secret?
Nobody knows where Nussbaum is but Nussbaum and his draft board. Thank you.
I forgot to ask him about the eggs. Well, that brings us to the little toadstool-covered cottage at the end of the alley.
T5 full thumb. Falstaff's here to join you, Joe.
Well, Falstaff?
I cannot tarry tonight, old boy. I'm busy working on my new radio program.
Your radio program? You have a sponsor?
Indubitably. Falstaff Beer is sponsoring Falstaff Openshaw.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My program starts tomorrow night. I shall be heard 3 times weekly.
Well, I guess you're too busy to give us a poem tonight.
Au contraire, old boy. Have you heard she said she was Ruth, that she came from Duluth, but it wasn't the truth? She was full of vermouth?
No, I don't think so.
Or, when Mother gave me her locket, she didn't think I'd hock it?
No.
Said the timid skunk to the little mink, confidentially, do you think I...
Do you think I what?
The skunk didn't say.
Now, wait a minute. Now that you have your own radio program, you're trying to ruin mine. Tonight, we're discussing the egg shortage.
Precisely.
Why you are here, I know. What is your egg form called?
There's simply no solution.
How does it go?
The WFA tried egg control. The WFA is ruining it. For today, eggs flood the market. The hens are overdoing it. These eggs must stop, bureaucrats cry, or there will be arrests. We'll subpoena every Plymouth Rock and padlock all the nests. But the nation's hens go blithely on and daily do their stuff. For hens are hens, and every hen must lay on like Macduff. For a hen has no alternative, and threats serve to provoke her. A hen can only lay an egg. If she coughed up the egg, it would choke her.
Thank you, Falstaff. Falstaff, adding his over to the ovation, rushes into the arms of his new sponsor. Maestro Goodman puts down his jackknife and raises the baton he has just whittled to summon Hilo, Jack, and the Dame. Tonight, the kids sing Louise. Not again tonight.
Why, yes, Fred. My new ballad is called A Love Song to Lizzie.
Love song? Something tells me that Lizzie is the family car.
Yes, and it's high time somebody showed Lizzie a little attention. With spring in the air, it's high time she was given her Texaco spring changeover. Thin, worn winter lubricants can't protect Lizzie against excessive warm weather wear. So, if you love Lizzie, see that she's taken around to a Texaco dealer for the correct grade of Texaco's insulated Havilland motor oil, the right Texaco gear lubricants, and complete Marfax chassis lubrication right now.
Well, Jimmy, what has all this got to do with your song?
Oh, that's the prologue, Fred. The song comes now.
Oh.
Mr. Goodman, please.
Lizzie, Lizzie, give me your answer, do. You must be dizzy after what you've been through. The last winter was a dinger. It put you through the ringer. But if you go to Texaco, you will soon feel as good as new. Lizzie, Lizzie, go around to Texaco. They'll get busy. You'll run like long ago. Oh, you will feel fit and sassy when they mop at your chassis. And they'll put in the new Havilland when you go around to Texaco.
Like that. You and I sing two choruses and no squeals, nobody swoons. It's very quiet. I guess we just don't get the Bobby Sock audience, Jimmy. We get the shawl and high button shoe crowd. Hey, Portland, what are you doing? Are you studying something? Is that a racing form you have there?
No. I'm trying to figure out these new taxes.
Oh, they'll take a little figuring, Portland. If we all start paying through the nose in a few months, everybody's going to look like Jimmy Durante.
The tax on cosmetics is double.
I know that.
Mama's cutting down 50%.
Well, how?
Mama's only making up one side of her face.
Oh, one side. Well, as long as it's the outside. You know, from now, you know, liquor taxes went up, too. Every man from now on who says he is looking at you will see Morgenthau's face in the glass. And I guess I'd better get busy.
Who's our guest tonight?
Well, we haven't any guests.
Why?
Well, it's a long story. I couldn't find a guest anyplace. Friday, I went over to the broadcasting building. You know, actors are always hanging around the hall. Sometimes you can pick up a talking bird or a guest cheap over there. And as I walked into the building, one of those sightseeing tours was just about to start. The guide was barking.
Step right up, folks. A complete tour of the radio studio. See a radio broadcast. See the announcers in their cages. See him writing jingles?
Well, I decided to take the tour, Portland. I paid my 40 cents, and the tour started. The guide said,
now all join hands and follow me. Don't speak to strangers in the hall, and keep away from open doors. somebody might pull you into a quiz show. Okay, we're off.
Well, this is going to be mighty interesting.
Now, on your right, this room is where the radio vice presidents are kept.
What do the vice presidents do, guide?
Nobody knows, lady. On ships, they call them barnacles. In radio, they cling to desks that are called vice presidents.
What's in this room, guide?
This is where they make up them radio jingles. I'll let you hear a jingle. Listen, I'll open the door.
Binkles, vitamins you can get in any letter of the alphabet. Binkles come from A to Z, also L-S-M-F-D. Binkle.
Now, in this studio across the hall, there's a broadcast going on. Quiet, everybody. I'll let you listen.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Forceps.
Sponge.
Suture.
Mm-mm.
Too bad.
Let's scram.
What program was that?
Young Dr. Malone. Here's another program on the air. Quiet, please. I'm going to open the door.
I want my alimony. Give me my alimony.
What program was that?
John's Other Wife. Now, folks, over here we have the Dumont Television Studios. Television is the entertainment of tomorrow.
Say, guide, I just saw a friend of mine in that television waiting room. I've got to stop and talk to her.
Okay, I'll slow down the tour. You can catch up with us. Now, over here, folks.
Say, Jack.
Fred.
Jack Haley. Jack, I haven't seen you
since... The last time was Kansas City. We played that benefit together. Remember, Fred?
That's right.
Remember Shapiro and his seal were on the bill?
Uh-huh.
I met Shapiro last week. His wife was wearing the seal.
Baby, the great limbo... The great limbo, the contortionist, was on the bill. Remember, limbo used to twist his body into all different letters, A, B, C? Whatever happened to limbo?
Fred, limbo finally went too far. He made a nest of himself. They wasn't Flanagan and his midget on that bill.
That's right. The midget was drowned in a USO clubhouse. He was asleep in a chair and a big wave came in.
Did you stop at that hotel, Fred, in Kansas City with a small room?
Oh, say, the walls in my room were so close together, Jack, the mice had to walk around on their hind legs. Say, how was your room?
Fred, the furniture in my room was so small the bureau didn't have drawers. It had shorts.
You know? The pillow on my bed was a tea bag, Jack. It was that small. But this is a lot of fun talking over old times, Jack. But what are you doing up here in this television studio?
I'm waiting to audition.
For television?
Why, television's a coming thing, Fred. After the war, the stage, the movies, the radio will be gone. It'll be nothing but television.
Well, Jack, you're a big success in radio with Joan Davis.
I know, and Joanie's interested in it, too. Really? I'm not taking any chances, Fred. I'm looking ahead. I'm getting ready for television.
Well, say, perhaps I ought to look into that, too, Jack. Do you think I can get into television?
I don't think so, Fred.
I don't think so, no.
You see... You see, in radio, you get a break. Nobody sees you.
You mean...
How will it look? People will turn on their television set and bang, there's your puss right in their living room.
Well, so what?
Why, you set interior decorating back 200 years.
You mean I'm just not the television type?
Fred, those bags under your eyes.
Yeah?
When your face shows up, people will think it's the front of a pawn shop with a third ball missing.
My bags are that bad, eh?
Your nose looks like a banana holding up two sad sacks.
Well, I'm not the only homely person in radio, Jack.
Fred, television will ruin half of the actors in radio.
Oh, brother, wait till people get a load of those kisses on information, please. Fatiman always looks as though he smells a platitude and can't locate it. And Levant always looks as though he spent the night in a briefcase.
There's only one actor in radio who doesn't have to worry about television.
Who?
Jack Benny.
Jack Benny, huh? Well, that's right, too. Everybody, the name that said... I missed it for a minute. Just occurred to me. Everybody will expect Benny to show up a cheap, old, broken-down ham with flat feet, no teeth, and no hair. When people see Benny in television,
yes?
Nobody is going to be disappointed, Jack.
That's your trouble, too, Fred. Unfortunately, you look like you sound.
Now, Jack, now all, look. There must be some way I can get into television.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks, Fred. You'd have to learn a new technique.
But I've been acting in radio 12 years.
Nobody acts in radio. Fred, the sound man does the acting.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I'll show you. Sound man, will you step over here?
Yes, Mr. Haley.
Now, here's the love scene, and here's how one is played in radio. I'll be the lover, and you're my sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
I come in, I say, Gwendolyn.
Willoughby.
Gwendolyn, darling.
Willoughby.
Oh, my beloved, let me pat your cheek.
Willoughby.
Gwendolyn, my love, let me run my fingers through your hair.
Oh, Willoughby. Willoughby.
Gwendolyn, my own, may I kiss you?
Yes, Willoughby.
Ah, Gwendolyn, may I kiss you again?
Yes, Willoughby. Oh, Willoughby.
Gwendolyn, I will smother you with kisses. There, Fred, see what I mean? In radio, that is a passionate love scene.
Uh-huh.
We stand around like a couple of jerks while the sound man is kissing the back of his hand.
You mean in television, the actors will have to act?
Yes. Now, the same scene will look like this. I come in, I say, Gwendolyn, darling, at last,
Willoughby.
Gwendolyn, my pigeon, let me pat your cheek.
Oh, now, what?
Gwendolyn, my precious, let me run my fingers through your hair.
Oh, Willoughby. Willoughby.
Gwendolyn, may I kiss you?
Yes, Willoughby, kiss me.
Now, wait a minute,
Fred,
baby.
I'm only showing you.
What goes on here?
Fred, I'm only showing you what a love scene will be like in television.
Well, look, if that's television, the mayor will never let it into New York.
In television, actors will have to do their own lovemaking.
Uh-huh.
No sound man will be standing around with wet knuckles.
Now, look, Jack, romance is not for me. I'm a comedian. For television, what do I need? A couple of new jokes.
No, Fred. In television, everything is sight. You have to use jokes so old, they don't even get laughed in radio.
There are jokes that old?
There must be. Let me see. Do you know that old gag?
Which one?
I say, hello, Fred. I'm going to Chicago.
Are you going by Buffalo?
No, I'm going by train.
Well, you see, now, radio. This is a television audience. Yes. Audiences won't laugh at that. It's too old, Jack.
But here's how it'll be done at television. Let's do the same joke again. Hello, Fred. I'm going to Chicago.
Are you going by Buffalo?
No, I think I'll go by train. See, for television, you just tell an old joke and put on a funny hat.
But you can't keep putting on the same hat after every gag.
No, and I'll show you how it works. Let's try another joke. Hello, Fred. Do you file your fingernails?
No, I cut them off and throw them away, Jack.
Oh, you do? Yeah, well, there you go.
See? See, Fred? A joke like that, and then you just put on a false
face. Oh, Jack, look, you go into television, I'll stick to radio.
Fred, you're not mad, are you?
No, I'm not mad. Jack, you go your way, and I'll go mine.
We'll still be pals?
Yes, Jack.
Well, I hope so. I don't want anything to disturb our friendship, because many years ago we met in Boston. In those good old days, we didn't have a bean.
And when you didn't have a bean in Boston... Brother, you just didn't have anything to put under your ketchup.
We'll always be good friends. We made a vow. We meant it. That's why we're together now. Pals, we'll always be pals. What you do is okay with me.
Pals, just regular pals. What you do suits me to a T. You can have all my money, my silver and gold.
I'll give you my jokes, the ones that I've told. Good friends, we'll be till we're old, because we're pals, pals, pals.
You know, Fred, we really have been pals for a long while.
That's right, Jack.
You know, to be good friends like we are in this hectic show business, I think it's quite an accomplishment.
Yes, I guess it is.
And I'd like to take this opportunity to state publicly just how I feel about you as a very good friend.
Well, I appreciate your sentiments, Jack.
Fred, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you.
I know that.
I mean, I don't want you to feel that I'm over-emotional, but...
No, I know how you feel. It's just...
Do you like this tie?
Yes, it's a Fred. Beautiful tie, Jack.
You may have it.
No, no, please, not Jack. Don't give me a tie.
I don't want your tie.
Oh, well, there is a friend. A tie from his own neck. Look at that, a friend.
There's nothing I wouldn't give you, Fred.
Oh, I know that, Jack.
Do you need any money?
No, Jack, I don't need any money.
How about some blood?
No, no.
You look awfully white.
Well, I know, but I'll get by some way.
Won't you take some blood?
No, no, please, Jack. I don't know. I don't care for any blood.
Anybody out there got a razor blade?
Now, wait, Jack. Jack. Jack, don't open a vein just for me now, please. I know how...
Just one or two corpuscles?
No, no, please, Jack.
Any, but...
No, I know. I have your tie. That's enough. And believe me, I feel the same way about you. You are my friend. There's nothing that I have that I wouldn't... I'd give you the shirt off my back, Jack.
I know you would, Fred.
Now, you're laughing.
Oh, no.
No, you don't think I'd give you the shirt off my back.
Oh, yes, I do,
Fred. Oh, now, wait. When I say I'll give you the shirt off...
Oh, no, Fred.
I'm not kidding. I'm not fooling you.
He's taking his shirt off. Oh, you can't see that.
There's a shirt off my back. You can't tell me. You're my friend, Jack.
Isn't that wonderful? He gave me the shirt off his back. Least you could have done is have it laundered. Well, I'm not going to stand here and see you give me the shirt off your back without my reciprocating.
Jack, I don't want anything from it. I have the necktie, Jack. Jack, that's all I can do. Look, you've given me the shirt. There's only one thing I can do. Jack, there's only one thing I can give you. I have your... There's only one thing I can
What's
give
that?
You now, Jack. I'm
going to... Oh, no! Up your closet, Fred!
Good friend, we'll be to the end.
Before we close the Texaco Star Theater, I want to thank Jack Haley for coming over for the SEAL test program to help us kill a half hour tonight. Next week, our guest will be the popular man about Monaco, Reginald Gardner. And now, this is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast and reminding you that gasoline powers the attack. Don't waste a drop. Thank you, and good night. Thank you.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.